Welcome to the High Performance Technology Partner Podcast, where we delve into what makes a technology partner truly thrive in today's fast-paced market. It's not just technology that's evolving rapidly. Competition is too. Join us as we hear from industry experts and successful technology partners who share their secrets on creating lasting, valuable relationships with clients. We'll discuss how to overcome the challenges and where to find the best support. Whether you're a technology service provider or a cloud migration partner or a solution provider looking to gain valuable insights, recommendations, and stories that will help you grow your business, or a client seeking the best practices of top technology partners, this series has something for you. Tune in to discover what it takes to excel. Welcome to the first episode of the High Performance Technology Partner Podcast. We've got an exciting line of experts ready to share their insights on what it takes to make technology partners thrive in the ever-evolving tech landscape. First, we have Samantha Marks, the Content Strategy Director of Crayon. Samantha has spearheaded numerous research projects into the technology partner ecosystem throughout the region. She brings a wealth of knowledge and a deep understanding of the trends and challenges that tech partners face today. Next, we're joined by Warren Nolan, the Senior VP of Channels and Strategy at Crayon. Warren is on the front lines of the industry, and he will provide us with firsthand details and strategies that drive success in the competitive world of technology partnerships. Finally, we're thrilled to have Jenny Powell, the General Manager of Both Brains in New Zealand. Both Brains delivers managed IT services to a wide range of clients, from small local businesses to large multinational corporations. Jenny is also one of the founding members of the Partner Advisory Council, which plays a crucial role in shaping policy and fostering coordination between technology partners in the region. Stay tuned as we... Right, now that we've introduced our guests, let's dive into the core topic of today's episode. What exactly do we mean by high-performance technology partner? In the dynamic tech landscape, technology partners come in various forms, from managed service providers, software solution partners, systems integrators, cloud specialists, and of course now to AI and data specialists. Each of these tech partners brings unique strengths and value to their clients. But what makes them high performance? Warren, having worked with tech partners for many years, you bring a wealth of really unique and practical and deep insights into this discussion. Could you start by elaborating on your perspective of what defines high performance?
For me, it's about partners. I've been doing this. So I started out with New Lease, who became Ripe, who are now part of the Crayon organization. I've been working with partners in this cloud space for 19 years now. And the thing that I still love about it and have a passion for it is the partners I speak to, the ones that I would identify as high performance, are ones that have their whole heart in everything that they do. When I talk to them, they are so customer-centric. They talk about what their customers' needs are, and their success has been derived from their ability to understand how they can provide a service or a solution that enhances their customers' business. We use this term, trusted advisor, a lot in our industry, and they build real trust between them and their customers. And they are always striving to innovate. So what's new? What's the latest threat? What are the things that I need to be aware of that I can either assist my customer in their pursuit of their goals, or I can help to protect them in terms of what they've already built? For me, that's a high-performance partner, a partner that's always looking at the horizon and looking at what more they can do for their customers.
Thanks for those insights, Warren. It's really fascinating to hear about these qualities. Some of them we sort of intuitively know, but actually hearing how they land in the real world is really interesting. Jenny, I'd also like to continue this idea of, you know, what high performance looks practically and pragmatically. As the general manager of both brands, you've serviced a really diverse range of clients. What do you think high performance means? How do tech partners really deliver exceptional value to clients?
I suppose the first thing that we think about when we think high performance is probably businesses really committed to growth. Businesses utilizing tech to be better and, I suppose, deliver those solutions to their clients. And even when we talk about growth, I think probably the first thing that really comes to mind is financial growth. Our business, both brains, were based around partnerships, hence our name, both brains, both sides of the brain working together. So at the end of the day, yes, we provide those tech solutions, but we are a people-focused business, and that's really at the core of everything that we do. So for us, high performance is really based around how we work with our clients as problem solvers and not just tech sellers. We know our clients have genuine business goals, they've got visions they want to achieve, and we want to be working alongside them and wearing that tech hat for them at every step. So for us, it's more about using tech to problem solve versus tech as a solution. And that's how we judge whether we're a high performance business. For us to foster high performance within our organization, we kind of do this by investing in our staff as the main thing. So we find that happy and skilled staff translate to happy and less frustrated customers. You know, train and upskill your staff to meet the high performance standards that you actually want as a business. Hire people who are willing to learn and progress and really adapt to how you want to work as a company. Celebrating personal growth, celebrating personal goals is really, really important to us. So we celebrate personal and professional achievements every week with our team. And we really want to encourage that learning, growth, and just basically excellence at every level. Care about our customers is also so, so important to us as a people-focused business. We really try to listen to their needs and challenges and provide solutions around that that actually work for them. Customer retention for us is really key, and our relationship definitely goes way past that sales cycle into genuine partnership. And really, that's how we focus on to be high performance.
Thanks for that, Jenny. You know, what I find most fascinating is that you and Warren are both on different sides, if you will. You're seeing the tech partner system from very different perspectives. You're on the inside, Warren's on the outside servicing you. But I sense a lot of this. It's not about the technology. It's not about having a complete solution or whatever. It's actually about really understanding where your sweet spots lie, really having a culture and a mindset that drives towards perfecting that on behalf of your clients. It's a very client-driven viewpoint. Now, Samantha, I know that you've done extensive research with Crayon on this concept of high performance. Obviously, it's very much in Crayon's interest to understand what that is. Given your role as Content Strategy Director and your extensive involvement in this research, could you shed some light on the current trends and the attitudes and what you've found actually drives high performance?
Well, correct. Crayon has a pretty extensive research program across the organization. So myself personally have been involved in producing a series of research studies via Forrester. And that's where we go out to small to medium-sized business operators across the region. And we track their attitude, sentiment, investment plans when it comes to cloud and new technology domains. And we also track, you know, how have those adoptions and implementations influenced the financial outcomes of their businesses. And we look quite closely in that particular research set at where their requirements are for services. What kind of partners are they looking to engage? How are selection criteria for partners changing from 1 year to the next? And we release that research, future of operations research, once every 2 years.
Thanks for that, Sam. Look, I'd also like to say to all of our listeners, all of this research is available, right, Sam?
Yeah.
And it's really worth your while. If you're a tech partner, it is absolutely worth your while to read some of this research, because it does have incredible fact-driven, you know, real evidence-driven insights into how you might want to think about improving your performance. But now let's step back and actually take a look at, what it takes to be a high-performance partner, what sort of values and so forth. Every company wants to work with partners who share their values and have a strong reputation in the industry, because high-performing teams, they can really help boost your productivity, they can help you foster innovation, they can increase morale, create a culture of collaboration, both within themselves as tech partners, but also within their client organizations. And that's really important. Jenny, according to you, what are the key qualities or characteristics that set high-performance tech partners apart from the rest of the crowd? And also, in which of these characteristics does your organization excel, and what do you think the impact is on clients?
There's just so many benefits to focusing on a high-performance culture within the business. Firstly, really increasing employee satisfaction, engagement, and their loyalty. So culture within the team is just so, so important. We all know how difficult it is finding and retaining skilled and passionate staff. We really want them to be able to meet those high performance standards and deliver quality service to the clients. So what we want to do is really use our budget and time to invest in the team that we already have. So regular pay reviews, supporting them with upskilling, you know, all of this is better use of that time and money than you using the same budget basically for hiring and onboarding constantly. Once we've got that team in place, it really helps with the second point for me, which is really improving customer retention and satisfaction. And ultimately that lead into referrals. So really caring about our clients and working in partnership with them leads to closer relationships. It leads to more trust, and it ultimately leads to less churn. Our clients are actually our biggest ambassadors, and so many of our businesses that we've brought on have actually been organically driven from some of our other clients. You know, that reduces the cost of acquisition. It builds that trust piece. You know, we're just a small team and we actually don't even have a sales team. So, you know, making these cultures be embedded within our business, really, it leads to the enhanced productivity, the enhanced efficiency, enhanced profitability at the end of the day, just by putting these processes in place and really actually caring for our people.
Sam, following on from Jenny's comments there, what do you think is the value and the benefits that can be extracted both for the partners but also for their clients? What's your research showing?
So it's a, you know, I guess the big word there is value, right? And when we look at, you know, what that means to different customers, you know, that's kind of pivotal. If a partner has a customer that is price driven and that's what they value, then the partner needs to respond to that. But what we found, and in fact some of the outcomes that we got from sort of cross-referencing future of operations data with high performance research insights, was that quite often price is used by customers as the lever by which they signal that they are unhappy with something else, right? And the opportunity for the partner, when a customer is suggesting that things are too expensive, is to then dive back in and really investigate why the partner is not seeing value. And often it's got nothing to do with price. It's something to do with service levels. It's something to do with outcomes, right? Or it's something to do with, you know, misalignment in terms of the way that the customer and partner are working together. And when, you know, when a partner is willing to explore that, you know, with a customer, then very often they'll find not only does the price not go down, they find opportunities to win new business and new projects and new revenue. So, you know, value staging and value-based decisioning within a customer, you know, every customer is always looking to have the value of an investment defined. What is it that we are going to do? What are we going to be able to achieve? The role of the partner in delivering that is pivotal, but the really, really big one, particularly when it comes to big bet investments for customers, is, you know, was the value of a technology investment realized across the whole business? Right? It's a minimum expectation that there's going to be an outcome for the adopting part of the business. If someone, you know, has bought in a new piece of software or a platform that's supposed to, you know, make their accounting function faster or their HR function more efficient, then it's a minimum expectation that that will be the case, right? When value really shifts is when the business realizes that there have been value building outcomes in other parts of the business that perhaps they didn't expect to see.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that really valuable insight, Samantha. And I think it's really important to both look at, you know, what the research says, but also hear what is happening practically in the industry. Understanding the traits that make tech partners high performance is incredibly beneficial, not just for the tech partners, but also their clients. However, it's not all sunshine and roses. It's really essential to acknowledge that there are huge challenges in the tech partners landscape today. You've got rising costs of some technologies. You've got very disruptive technologies like AI, trying to find access to talent, the rapidly evolving cybersecurity landscape. There's also quite deep changes in client expectations. These are just some of the hurdles that we're seeing. Jenny, from your perspective as a tech partner, as someone right in the know, what are some of the biggest challenges that you see technology partners are facing right now?
Wow, there are actually so many challenges that face us now as businesses, aren't there? Not even thinking about rising costs or access to talent, but you know, one of the things that we come across quite a lot is actually the expectation of businesses to be kind of good at everything, not just tech. So the reality is that so many tech service businesses, they're born from someone being good at what they do, which is usually tech, and then kind of building a client base with that skill. But that's not really enough anymore. We're actually expected to be you know, good marketers, sales, great at networking, you know, customer management. We have to have so many skills. And actually that's what makes a really good, well-rounded business. So it's really important for businesses that we kind of actually accept what we're good at, accept what we're not good at, and then recognize those strengths and weaknesses and hire really to support it. So we need to keep being agile, don't we? We need to keep being adaptable to the change in landscape ahead of us. And we need to be the, you know, ready for whatever the market demands. So it is actually about thinking outside that tech box as a business leader and thinking about where your business needs to go and the pathway that you need to do to get there.
Right. And Warren, what do you see as some of the challenges?
The challenges that a lot of our partners are experiencing. Some of them are not new, been around for a while. Finding good staff, finding qualified staff, being able to afford those staff, those people. A lot of our customers are small in themselves in terms of the size of their organization. Having marketing resources and ability to be able to create go-to-market strategies, etc. And then, of course, the two biggies that I already mentioned, cybersecurity threats and Gen AI, threats create opportunity if you're able to mitigate the risk for your customers, and also Gen AI and what it can mean to someone's business and how you innovate that or introduce that into those organizations. Because it's not just about the technology itself; it's about how you prepare for the delivery and the implementation of that solution that is potentially the opportunity as well as the really important thing that you need to think about. So, those challenges, obviously, you know, pricing pressure in terms of particular parts of the market becoming more saturated in terms of this amount of solutions that are available to customers. So price sensitivity, all of those sorts of things are the challenges that we're hearing. So some, you know, some not new, but still existing in terms of staffing and resourcing, go-to-market and strategies and marketing resources, etc. And then those threats and opportunities that they're seeing.
Mm. So how would we start to overcome those challenges? Jenny, what recommendations would you give to other technology partners about overcoming these many challenges that you're seeing?
I think first and foremost, we probably, you know, don't be afraid of tech and utilize a new tech within your business. You know, these are tools that are designed for us to be better. And it's just so important that we are the leaders in that space, right? So automate what you can do and utilize as much staff time that you've got for skilled work versus, you know, mundane work. I think really having a consistent and unified tech stack that you can master and your staff can master and you can use it across different verticals is really important. So at Both Brains, we work cross-sector. So for us, balancing the needs and the expectations of those different clients, they're all across different verticals, and we need to be providing them with a consistent service offer. And so for us, that's really important to be doing and to be proactive and efficient in providing the solutions and support to our clients. You know, we actually need to be solving their business problems. So you've actually got to listen. One of the main things is listen to what your clients are saying and then provide the solution around that that fits within your business. So the more proactive that we can be, you know, the less downtime our clients are going to have. So what we want to be is outcome driven. We want to be proactive. We want to be masters of what we do. And I think all of those things really help you stay competitive and actually mean that your client always comes to you first for the advice rather than looking elsewhere. You know, you need to be the master of your own destiny in that space.
Sam, you had some really interesting insights from your research about how the most successful tech partners are actually addressing those challenges, almost turning them into opportunities. Could you explore those and elaborate on those for us?
It's really good. There's a lot. I think there is an awareness that the future for a lot of partners in terms of building, you know, building business value is going to be found in IP commercialization. I think there is growing awareness that that is an extraordinarily important thing to know how to do. But there is perhaps some, you know, consternation as to, well, how do I do that? IP commercialization is, you know, it's a discipline, it's a skill set. Where do I go? How do I work this out? How do I find out, you know, what this is all about? How do I productize what I'm already doing? How do I scale it? How do I make it, how do I turn it into something that will, you know, ultimately increase my opportunities to monetize my position if I choose to sell, and so on. So that's a really big one. I think just the constant learning cycles, you know, technology steps just come so quickly, and the updates and the constant developments on vendor platforms release so quickly, it's harder and harder to stay on top of it. And with that comes increased onus on training and certification. And that's, you know, that can be a considerable impost for partners. And then I think, you know, more broadly, it's about business models, right? It's about how do they identify when, where, how to begin programs of work that will really shift gears for them in terms of the way that they have traditionally engaged and sold and generated revenue towards models that will set them up to be competitive and relevant and be sustainable and profitable 10 years from now. And that's a very, very big question for a lot of our partners.
Warren, you work with a lot of tech partners, so you've seen what works with regards to overcoming the challenges that are in the market, what helps them to thrive. What's your thoughts?
I think the first thing is to is to have a clear idea of who you are and what you're wanting to bring to, what your unique proposition is. And as I said before, that uniqueness, that unique IP doesn't have to be a product. It doesn't have to be a particular service. It can be the way that methodology of engagement. It can be the knowledge you bring in terms of a particular vertical and your experience with it, etc. Have a clear understanding, and therefore you'll have an ability to be able to articulate that to any new prospect or new opportunity that you have. The other would be surround yourself with people who really are open to change, who want to embrace innovation, who are looking to evolve themselves and what they do and broaden their knowledge. If you have that mindset and you surround yourself with those type of people in your organization, then the culture that you will create is one of a continuous, it's another cliche, I guess, but another, you know, growth mindset in terms of I want to evolve, I want to innovate, I want to learn more things, I want to be able to add more value, different value than what I do today. So when you're looking to bring people into your organization, look for those attributes within them. It's not just about the skills that they bring in terms of their knowledge and their certifications, etc. And then the third thing would be think strategic rather than, you know, being tactical. And you know, I said before, we feel like we need to get the quote out as quick as we possibly can. We feel like we need that quote to be as sharp as it can. And yes, of course, we need to be competitive and we need to bring the best price that we can. But be strategic. Think about communication and how you work with your potential customers and your existing customers in terms of, as I've said a couple of times, understanding who they are, understanding what their needs are and the threats to those ambitions and growth plans that they have, and how you can therefore which will help you therefore being able to articulate that understanding you have with the first thing I said around who you are and what you bring to the table. If you're able to, so, you know, in summary, if you're able to say, this is who I am, this is what we bring to the table, this is our specialty, and you're surrounded by people that help you bring those services and solutions to the table, who have a growth mindset, that are always open to a new challenge, a new innovation, then you have effective communication with your customer in terms of wanting to, and you're able to get across to them that you are invested in understanding who they are and how you can add real value in terms of what you bring to the table and what you're offering them as a service, then I really think you've got a great foundation for success. Nobody's guaranteed success. It takes hard work. It takes a lot of persistence. Sometimes it's being prepared to get back up after receiving a couple of knocks. But I really believe if you've got those three things and as a foundation, then you're setting yourself up for success.
Now, all of this is really powerful insights, and I'm hoping that our listeners, all of you out there, are actually taking notes on this, because there are real issues here that will dramatically improve your business. And we certainly want you to take those forward. And we're going to drill into many of these issues in far more detail throughout this podcast series. But let's actually see how this looks in the real world. Sam, can you give me some examples of technology partners that you've seen who've done a really good job, really nailed it in the marketplace?
Well, I've got, you know, without naming names, but, you know, I'm aware of one partner, you know, there's so many incredible stories out there amongst our partner base. But, you know, I'm aware of one partner in particular that they were aware they were treading water. The way that they had been doing business for quite some time wasn't sustainable. They, you know, they were not seeing the margins. They were, you know, just being squeezed between, increasing costs of doing business and changes to the way that vendors, you know, programs were working, where the profitability was changed, and their ability to sort of sustain themselves through, you know, upsell and license add-ons, which had been, you know, a big part of their business model for a long time, had gone. Now, they recognised that and they, you know, they bit the bullet and they went and engaged themselves in, you know, a deep program with a company that specialises in business transformation for channel service providers. It was not an inconsiderable investment for a smaller business, but at the end of that 12-month period, they had a new go-to-market, they had a blue water strategy, and 12 months after completing that program, this partner tripled their EBITDA, and that is saying something. But it is really, you know, it relies on business owners to accept that the way things have always been done is often the enemy of survival, you know, as a company. So for that partner, you know, the high performance was in the recognition that something needed to change and the willingness to dive in and do something material and structured and deep, do the deep work to ensure that their business would survive. And, you know, that is, you know, it was really inspiring to hear that story. And there's many examples of such things, you know, across our partner ecosystem. But, you know, the big one really is those sort of pivot moments, those awareness points at which they realise that something has to change, or the chances of them being able to open the doors in a couple of years' time will be quite small. And that can be a very tough realisation to reach, but then it's about what you do when, you know, when those moments arrive, I guess.
Warren, you see hundreds of technology partners, if not more, on a regular basis. Can you give me an example of one or two which have really done a great job, you know, and what were the traits that they have that made them high performing?
I like to believe that we've got a lot of partners that fit into the category of embracing change and innovation and continuously looking to evolve, which, as I said, I think is a real indicator of a high performance partner. ONGC in Queensland is one of our partners that I believe has continuously looked and sought to understand their customers and their needs. So, you know, it's not just about, okay, where's the opportunity? What do our customers want? What are they looking for? What can we bring to the table? It's understanding who their customers are and what their ambitions for their own business that matters. Because when you're looking at, when you understand that, when you then think about the solutions that you bring, you understand how that fits into that equation. And therefore, you bring real value to that partnership between you and your customer. And I think Steve Dawson and his people are extremely successful at doing that.
Right. Jenny, you know, taking this one step further, do you have examples of when you've worked with clients that really illustrate some of the things we're talking about here, some of these traits of high-performing tech partners?
I think when we're sharing the success stories of our clients, it's quite common for us to get sucked into the thought that we have to be thinking about some major transformation that we've done for a client, you know. But it's actually quite funny. One of my favourite feedbacks from one of our clients, we actually did a really big technology piece for the business, and it actually wasn't around that in the common when they were saying about how they measured the success. They actually said, hey, since you guys have been on board, people know that they're going to get responsive service. They don't feel like they can't ask the question. They don't feel like they are reluctant to reach out and get a solution. And actually what the outcome of that is that they're actually happier in the work environment. They're not frustrated with their tech. They're not, you know, swearing at their computer. And it's, you know, our client actually said this has fundamentally changed the vibe in the office. Like, people are actually happier. And for me, that was such a great story because it actually wasn't about the massive piece of tech that we did, but actually the people at the end of it not wanting to, you know, throw the laptop out the window. One of our clients is a tourism business and they fluctuate in staff over the different seasons. They had a much smaller team coming out of COVID when we came on board and they rapidly needed to upscale. Actually, when we went in, the main thing that we did was simplify the tech stack. So it wasn't a big deal. It was just really impactful for them. It made them be able to do what they need to do, you know, spend more time doing what they love, what their business is made for, hosting customers, providing bucket list experiences. And in the end of the day, the stack that we chose for them just had to be collaborative. It had to be simple. It had to be scalable. And it meant that then when they were on board a new staff, that it was a quicker onboarding process, that their staff were comfortable in the tools that they were using. And for me, that's the joy of tech. Like, it's all about that. It's about that end result. And what is the end result for them? It's them getting Qualmark Gold. They are the number one tourism activity on TripAdvisor in Queenstown, you know, and being able to support that and actually let them do what they need to do and be great at what they do by utilizing tech just in a little bit of a smarter way. And actually they did save money too, because they, you know, removed some of that, the programs that they didn't actually need to use. It was just legacy. So, you know, they saved money, it simplified everything, the staff were happier, and ultimately led to them being able to provide that amazing experience, which is what it's all about.
Warren, changing focus a little bit here, I know that Crayon recently set up the Partner Advisory Council. And this is a really interesting concept because it fundamentally is a program aimed at bringing different technology partners together to share their knowledge, to explore you know, what it takes to really grow their business and also to service their clients. Could you elaborate a little bit on this? Because I know that a lot of our listeners will not be aware of this program, but I really think it's worth calling out.
Yeah, look, thank you for asking. I'm particularly proud of the fact that we have created a Partner Advisory Council. And when I think about, you know, the reasons for that, it's about our desire to continuously provide real value in our partnership with our customers. And when we think about being able to do that, it's necessary for us to hear firsthand from these partners and our customers and understand the threats that they see to their business, to their customers' businesses, what innovation they need to help them grow their business and secure their customers' relationships that they have. And the advisory council allows us the opportunity to bring together partners that we believe are high performance, one, but two, are innovative in their thinking. And they're sitting down with, I mean, it's a unique situation, right? They're sitting down with their peers, but also potentially looking across the room at a competitor in a particular space. But the reality is we need to, if we're going to develop our industry, our channel, it's around best practice sharing. It's around imparting knowledge that lifts, you know, it's an old cliche, but, you know, the tide that lifts all boats. Cybersecurity is not unique to one partner and one partner's customer set. Generative AI is an opportunity for all to embrace. But understanding how you approach these things, this threat, this opportunity, is a unique opportunity for us to be able to hear firsthand from partners what that means to them. And I know also in regard to how we engage with our customers is important. And hearing firsthand from them what we could do better, how we could engage differently and bring more value to that partnership. And for me, that's the essence of why we've created the Partner Advisory Council.
Jenny, you're a member of the council, correct? Right. What has been your experience with it? And what sort of value are you trying to get from this program? What does it deliver for you as a technology partner?
So Crayon bringing together the Partner Advisory Committee, it's actually been really fun. It's a group of high-performance technology partners who we're all willing to sit there and share our learnings and insights with Crayon. And, you know, the aim of that is to really help them understand the needs and challenges of their partners, not just high-performance partners, but all of their different partners, provide feedback and also suggestions on maybe how services could be improved, how their products could be different, what we're really looking for support. So it's actually been a really fun thing to be a part of. Personally, for me and for our business, the main benefit really is that we're sitting around a table learning from these other amazing businesses, other high performance partners, and really delving into their best practice and how we can be better and what we could be integrating into our business to continue to deliver. Secondly, it's really great to be able to contribute to the development and growth of the partner network, for the wider partner network for Crayon. Sharing our perspective and our experiences is very different than some of the other experiences around the table. And I think a diverse voice and group of people will really give Crayon a great understanding of what their partners need. So yeah, it's been really fun.
And last but not least, Jenny, as a practitioner, what would be the one piece of advice that you would like to give?
This is an interesting one. Both Brains is not my business. I run the business, but it's owned by Ryan. He started the business 12 years ago now, I think. So I actually asked him, what is the one thing you wish you knew when you started? And he actually said quite a nice thing. He said, get yourself a Jenny. So I appreciated that. But what he meant by that was surround yourself at the start by people who are invested and passionate about your business, because ultimately it's going to make it a fun place to work, it's going to help you to grow, and it's going to be reflected in the relationships that you've got, whether it's with suppliers, with your customers, whether it's with your staff. And I think I only came on board here 3 years ago, but the growth that we've seen as a true partnership together has been really amazing. So I think what he meant by that is if he could go back and surround himself at the very start with a strong team, he probably would have been flying a lot earlier. So yeah.
Warren, what would be your one critical piece of advice?
When servicing particular customers, there are obviously certain verticals where a knowledge of that industry, a knowledge of what the service provider in a financial industry provides, what a not-for-profit does and how they operate, and some of the regulations that are regulatory sort of obligations that they have as a not-for-profit organisation that they must adhere to around security and all of these sorts of things, obviously is essential to understand.
And Sam, what would your one bit of advice be?
Do not build your business on selling time and materials. It's a hiding to nothing.
Sam, Warren and Jenny, thank you for your invaluable insights. This has been a great start to what's going to be an absolute corker of a podcast series. In future episodes, we're going to be really drilling down onto some pretty heavy issues, such as how do you attract and retain really good staff? What sort of staff do you need to attract, of course? We're going to be looking at the marketing resources which exist in the marketplace and how you can draw upon those. We're going to be looking at sales. We're going to be looking at, most importantly, how do you create powerful value propositions for clients? What do they look like? So please join me for future podcasts. I'm looking forward to presenting these on an ongoing basis. And again, thank you to Warren, to Sam, and of course, to Jenny. You've been listening to the High Performance Technology Partner Podcast, brought to you by Crayon. If you'd like to know more about Crayon and its services and how it can help you either as a client or as a technology partner, please visit www.crayon.com.